Amen.
Giving thanks. He's worthy. You know, we sang some giving thanks songs. He's made me glad, give thanks. We need to count our blessings, regardless of the troubles and the piles of hurt that we're going in, to give thanks for those. Give thanks in the good times and in the bad times, just to glorify God in all things. Giving thanks to God is, again, is part of seeking His face. Because when we really know the God of the Bible, when we seek Him and we find Him, because He promised we would find Him if we seek Him with all of our heart. When we find out who God is, when we find out the glory and the power and the magnitude of His love, that's something to be grateful for. That is true thanks. When you understand that the God of all creation came down simply because He loved you, Kev. Simply because He loved you, and if it was just for you,
it takes a lot of love, right?
And so, but in that, what a thing to think of, that God so loved the world that He sent Jesus Christ, His Son, His only begotten Son, for us, for our sin nature, for the sin of the world, that He would pay the price. What a thing to be thankful for. And yeah, we got things that we thank God for, and a lot of it's physical stuff, and, you know, cars, houses, family, health, you know. But Judy, in one of her texts to my wife, she gave thanks because of her pain.
Amen.
Yeah, praise God for that, for a heart like that, to worship God. Even when it hurts, to give Him thanks, especially when it hurts. It's easy to praise God on a mountaintop, right? But when you're in the valley, when you're down, it seems, by yourself, lonely, hurting, wounded, thanking God for the pain. That's a thought, isn't it? The psalmist had a lot to say about thanks, giving thanks. And we're going to go through a couple of psalms this morning. And Psalm 100, this is a short psalm, just 5 verses. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, and come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is good. Amen. That's something to be thankful. Know ye the Lord, He is good. Amen. That the Lord, He is God. Thank you. Thanks. But He is good too. But you're right, it says God. And it is He that maketh us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and His sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, and His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Amen. The Lord is good. Amen. God is good. And He loves you. Chapter 107 of Psalms, or Psalms 107. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands of the east, and from the west, and from the north, and from the south. And just real quick, what's the fourth there? The southern states. That's the dimensional. No, anybody who's been here for any amount of time, you know where I'm coming from with that. I saw that. I said, wow, the south is the fourth. Woohoo! Amen. I know Tom's giggling in his heart over there. And so, and they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distress. And He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sat in darkness and the shadow of death, being bound in afflictions and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contempted, that means despised, or contemned.
The same as condemned.
Yeah, but they have a different word, letters, and they're condemned. Condemned. Yeah. Despised. They despised the counsel of the Lord Most High. Therefore, therefore He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distress. He brought them out of the darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bond asunder, so that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Amen. Then he goes on about how he continually saved them out of stuff. Worshiping God with a grateful heart, especially when we are those people wandering in the wilderness or in a solitary way that find no city to dwell in. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You so much. Lord, we lift our hearts and our hands before You, Lord God. We ask even now that You would move mighty on Your congregation, Your church, Your building, Father, these lively stones, Lord, that You would help us to think of Your magnitude mercies poured out on us. Let us, oh, that men would praise the Lord. Oh, that men would be thankful that You love us even in the midst of our situations. Lord, we do praise You, and we thank You for that. Open our eyes, Lord God, that we might see the need of worship. Father, we ask You would move on us in Jesus' name. Amen. As Psalm 107, speaking of starting in verse 4, wandering in a wilderness and in a solitary way, they found no city to dwell in. I don't feel at home on this earth anymore. I do not feel at home in America anymore. This is the first time in my life that I really feel like I'm wandering around in a desert place. Knowing that God loves us, knowing that God is caring for us, but seeing the dissolving of a nation that once loved God. That God is giving over the nation to the desire of their own heart. But I'm going to worship God.
Amen.
Although I may be wandering in a desert place, although the church is wandering in a desert place, that we may be hungering and thirsting, and our soul is fainting in us. In Amos, God warns of a famine that was going to hit, but it's not a famine of food, but it was a famine of the Word of God. That's what I hunger for, more than food, more than water, more the sustainment of my flesh. In this congregation here, we get fed a good bit of food here, and it's not because of me, but it's the teaching on Monday nights with the ladies group, the teaching on Tuesday nights with the men's group, the Wednesday evening going through the scriptures, and the Sunday mornings in Bible study with the body of Christ, and how the Holy Spirit opens up our understanding and our mind to the things that He had promised and worked out in us. And then, of course, on Sunday morning when we open the Word of God and we listen how the Lord, well, actually, how the Lord worked in my heart and how I might just share it with you. And this is Thanksgiving. And as y'all know, I really don't preach around holidays. I don't make Mother's Day messages and stuff like that, if it happens to fall that way. But what's really, really interesting, and I didn't realize it until I went and bought turkeys this week, yesterday, that on my regular Seeking the Face of God, Thanksgiving was the next thing that we were going to talk about. When you seek the face of God, when you're really seeking Him, you can be thankful no matter what comes to you, on you, by you. No matter what this world throws at you, you can be thankful, not because the world hates you, but because you are loved by God. Isn't that something to be thankful for? The world, yeah, it hates me. It hates everything about me because I love God. But God loves me because I don't love this world or the entrapments of this world. I'm in this world, but I know that we are not of this world. God has set us apart for a far better thing. We have a kingdom, amen. We got a kingdom that's coming that is made without hands, amen, whose maker is God himself. And you are part of that building. Praise God. Be thankful, right? Be thankful for what he has done, what he's prepared you for. And yes, we may walk in wilderness and solitary way. We may not find a city to dwell in. We may even hunger and thirst, and our soul would faint within us. But we can cry unto the Lord in our trouble, and he delivers us. Folks, I am grateful and thankful. More than I am thankful for my family, more than I am thankful for the vehicles or the wealth or the houses or the church building or anything that this world has provided us, I am thankful that God looks from heaven and he sees you as the individual. And he loves you as the individual. And we, in our sinful state, fallen state, if we would learn to worship God, to praise him, stop mully grubbing and complaining about what we don't have and be thankful for the things we do have. Amen. Be thankful. And even if you don't have much, and I hate to keep using you, Justin, but this is why, God, you are here. And how many times on a Wednesday night has Justin said, thank God for my salvation? Amen. You may not have anything else on this earth, but you got salvation. You got a relationship with Jesus Christ. You need to be thankful for that. Because you didn't do that on your own. God called you. While you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. While you were still condemned, God reached down from heaven with his love, his mercy, his power. He found you. He called you by name. He let his spirit pass over you. And he illuminated you that you might see him. That you might find a hope that is outside of this world. Amen. Right? Praise God, Justin. Amen. Amen for that. I am grateful for that. I am grateful. I am so thankful that God knows us, that he called us. We cried to him, verse 6, it says in 107. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. Verse 7 says, and he leadeth them forth by the right way. Amen. If you are grateful to God, if you are praying to God, if you are seeking God through the Word, he's going to lead you, but he's not going to lead you in the way of sin. He's going to lead you in the way of righteousness. He's not going to lead you in the way of darkness. He's going to lead you in the way of light. He's not going to lead you into destruction, but he's going to deliver you out of destruction and into salvation. Isn't anyone thankful? Are you thankful for that? Are you happy for that? I mean, doesn't that at least make a little joy? Come on. I know that it snowed last week, but praise God. You know? The Bible says that he has warehouses of snow. I don't know why, but he has warehouses of snow for us, right? I guess they're skiing in heaven. Okay, storehouses. Warehouses, storehouses of snow.
Buffalo doesn't have to look for that. Amen.
But be thankful for the times that we're living in. Have you ever thought of that? That God had you born right in this time? Mm-hmm. In the midst of... that we got to see a glimpse of what America was in its foundation. Yeah. Was. Mayflower Pact was signed and the pilgrims first came off of the Mayflower onto the American soil desiring to follow Jesus Christ and to spread the gospel of the living Lord in this land without the government's interference. That's why they came. That's why America was founded. That we could worship God with the fullness of our heart without worrying about the king overshadowing how you praise him and how you worship him. Something's changed. The abomination.
Yeah.
We forgot the God who called us.
Yeah.
We started walking around and living in the wilderness. Not the wilderness like the wilderness that they talked about back then, but the wilderness of our heart. Started walking and desiring, instead of the riches of God, the nation started desiring the lust of their own heart. Greed. Lasciviousness. Perversions. And now we're living in America the way that it is. And it is just the way it is. Now I'm not going to kick on it any harder than that. But I do want us to know I am thankful for this time. I don't know what God's going to do tomorrow, but I know what he did in the past. I don't know how God's going to work this all out, except I have his word that he has a new kingdom coming. And he said that when it was as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be. I don't know how wicked it was back then, but obviously we haven't made it there yet. Right? I don't see how we can't have much further to get that wicked ball across the goal line before that to come, you know, and I don't know much about feetball. I really don't. I mean, they wrestle around with an oblong ball and try to get it across a line, you know, and then they slap each other around and woo, they celebrate, throw the oblong ball on the ground and dance. That's about all I know about the sport. Right. You're right. I don't know what I'm missing. Praise God. You know. And anyhow, I'm thankful for the wicked times that we live in. The flood of wickedness is now upon us. We're no longer looking for it to come. I'm pretty sure we see it. Especially those who know God, who know his ways. We ought to be understanding that we are wandering in a wilderness area right now. That we are living in the days that was talked about in Amos, that there would be a famine of the Word of God, not a famine of food and water. But we're living where the Word of God is mocked at, where wrong is called right and right is called wrong. That's the times that we're living in. I'm grateful for that in America. Because what I know from God through his word, that means that he's going to come and he's going to set things right. Amen. It's going to be painful. It's not going to be easy. The enemy's going to fight. In fact, Paul wrote, I'm going to say that the Spirit of God moved on Paul, and he wrote what the Spirit of God told him to write, that in the last days things were going to wax worse and worse, wickeder and wickeder. It's not going to get better and better. It's going to get worse. And we are to be rejoicing in the midst of that. Opening our eyes and searching the scriptures, we can see that the wickedness is already here. But let us not fear. Amen? Let us not be consumed by the times. Colossians in the New Testament, I always get those confused. C-O-L-O-S, Colossians. Right? All right. Not Chronicles. Colossians. Amen. Colossians chapter 3. If you'll flip over there. I'm going to go with you. Say amen when you get there. Amen. Praise God. Romans, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Amen. I may not be able to see it, but I can find it in my Bible. Chapter 3. And actually, I have 15, starting in 15 and going through 17, but let's back up to 12 to get the thought going. Now, this is for the Christians in the times of trouble, all right? This is for the Christians in the church in the time of Colossia. There was a Roman Empire that was ruling, and people were being tortured and burned to death and fed to the lions and that kind of stuff. And so Paul, writing to the church, he tells us what to do. Verse 12, he says, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercy and kindness, humbleness of mind and meekness and long-suffering." Why do you think he wants us to put that on? Why do you think God told Paul in the times of distress that the body of Christ must be looking for, as the elect of God, holy, beloved bowels, inner desire of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering?
Likeness of Christ.
When it gets darker, the church needs to glow brighter. The more wicked the world gets, the more holy we ought to be. The more we ought to love one another. How are they going to know who the church is? It's by our love one for another. How will they know you are a Christian? It's by your love one for another. That putting on the meekness and the long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, also do ye. And above all these, put on charity, which is the bound of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are called in one body. Be ye thankful. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, making with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Look at what He said. He said, give thanks, give thanks. Walk in holiness. Walk in the righteousness of God. Think of yourself humble. Have a humbleness of mind, a meekness, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel with another, get up and leave the church. No, that's what happens, unfortunately, too often. But that's not what the Word of God says. He doesn't say get up and leave. He says stick together, come back, and work these things out. Forbear one another. If I have a quarrel against anybody, I ought to forgive you. Why? Because Christ forgave us. That is the power of the church and being thankful in these things. Thank God He gave me the ability to forgive you. Thank God He gave you the ability to forgive me. Thank God we have the forgiveness of God in us. That we're not supposed to hold grudges. That we're supposed to forbear one another. That we're supposed to live with each other in harmony. And as much as it is to live in peace with you, do it. With you, you live at peace with all men as best you can. That doesn't mean they're going to love you back, but you're supposed to love them anyhow. And be grateful for that, because that is the fruit of the Spirit you cannot do in and of yourself. Do you know that? I cannot do those things that the Scripture just told me to do, except Christ dwell in me richly. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God that you can do it. Praise Him because of His manifold wisdom of knowledge and grace and perfectness that He has in you. Whatever you do in word or deed, verse 17, do all in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him, by Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you for your goodness and your righteousness. As we, the body of Christ, refocus put our focus on Christ instead of our troubles, instead of the world that's around us. If we truly sought the Lord with the fullness of our heart, then peace would rule in our hearts and we could love one another as He has loved us. But see, we got to get our focus right. We got to stop worrying about what the Buffalo Bills are going to do. We got to quit worrying about what O'Biden's going to do. We got to quit worrying about the Hochul or the governments of this world. Amen. See, the governments of this world, they're doing what they're going to do, and there's nothing we can do about that. Remember, we are in this world, but we're not of this world. We are promised a kingdom. Are you thankful for the kingdom that's coming, not for the kingdom that is?
Right.
What I'm grateful for is that God's going to come, and He's going to crush the kingdoms of this world, and the kingdoms of this world will become kingdoms of my God. Thank God for that. Thank God we're living in a time, and I really and truly believe we're living towards the end of the time of wickedness on this planet. I really and truly believe that this, I might see it. I might see those last 3.5 years. I might see the two witnesses in Jerusalem. I might see that. Amen. Can you imagine that?
Yep.
Them speaking fire out of their mouths and consuming their enemies. Amen. Them holding back the reins. Them proclaiming the acceptable day of the Lord.
Amen.
I might see the kingdom of God coming down out of heaven, crushing the enemy as I pass through in his righteousness. I might see that. I am thankful that I'm living in such a wicked day that I can see how the Antichrist will have the power to snatch out the three horns, the three authorities that are there, and make himself king of the world. And he's going to. We might see that. Y'all might think it's crazy that I'm excited that I might see it. Now, I'm not longing for the day of the Lord, because I know that's a day of wrath and great vengeance. And it's a fool who says he wants that. I'm just excited that I'm in the time that I'm in. Think of those who are in the time of Christ when Jesus walked on the earth, right? When he was here and he had his disciples and he had the believers, the followers of him, the ones who truly trusted on him. What a great time they lived in. Now around them it looked wicked, right? It looked like the Romans were going to conquer them, which they did. But God was in their presence. The peace, the healing was in their presence. The blind were receiving sight. The deaf were beginning to hear. Those with a cold and shut up heart were beginning to have their heart broken and opened up to the truth of God's word. The kingdom of God indeed did come, and he entered into the eastern gate as he rode upon a donkey, as a colt of an ass. And he rode in there, and they sang, Hosanna, Hosanna. Save now. Save now. And he did. He did, because it was just hours from there that he hung on a cross for the sin of the world. He did save there. Well, we are in just an exciting time. Amen. Right now as it was then. Today's excitement is just the same as it was in that excitement. Only this time there won't be the years that pass, because when this kingdom comes, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When this kingdom comes, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that I'm alive in that. I'm thankful that my children and my grandchildren just might see him come, and they just might repent of their sin. Amen. I'm excited for that, because my preaching has fallen on deaf ears. But when that angel that streaks across the sky and preaches the everlasting gospel, they will hear. Every ear is going to hear. And I am thankful for that. And I might be alive to see it. I'm thankful for that. Remembering that God has a promise that he made. And he made this in Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 13. And we know this, right? And it's been contorted and twisted out of its real meaning so much that it's unless you know the rest of the story, you might think that this is something that it's not. Jeremiah, the Lord spoke to him and says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then you shall call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Now think about what was about ready to happen. Because he goes on and says, you are going to be in bondage for 70 years. All right? God says, I know the thoughts I have for you. I know what's going to happen, but this is my plan. You sinned against me. You stopped following me. You started worshiping gods that were not gods. Your priests were preaching falseness. Your prophets weren't prophesying the truth. Your pastors weren't doing what pastors ought to do, which is warn the flock of God that the judgment of God is coming. All of them stopped that. And God says, I am sending in Nebuchadnezzar. They're going to come out of the north. They're going to encamp around you. And it's going to be bad. They're going to put hot hooks in your jaws. And they're going to lead you off into captivity. You're going to be there for 70 years as servants to Nebuchadnezzar. But when you go there, you buy a house. You marry. You raise up children. You be good to the ones who captured you. Be good to them. Because I have thoughts for you. I got plans for you. I got things for you that you cannot see. He says, I know the thoughts that I have toward you. Thank God. Thank God. We are walking around in a wilderness place right now. We're walking around in dry lands right now. Right now, most churches are not preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. Most churches are preaching some unicorn and rainbow type of gospel. Most churches are not seeking God with the fullness of their heart. But thank God this one is. Amen. I can't speak for any other ones, but God has given us a spirit, a hunger, a thirst for righteousness. And we can say, even though the wrath of God is coming and the Antichrist is rising up, I will thank God because He has a plan. He knows the thoughts that He thinks of us. He knows the thoughts of peace and not of evil. He has an expected end. Praise God for that. He has an expected end. The Antichrist is going to make war with the saints, and the Bible says He's going to overcome them. God says, I got an expected end for you. Praise God for that. I am happy. I am thankful. I am joyful because God has an expected end. And you know, I know what that end is because He wrote it to me in His Word. It's going to get rough, folks. It's not going to be pleasant, but we need to look past the torments and the hurts and the pressures of this present age and start looking for the kingdom. Do you know that there was a reason that Jesus told His disciples not to preach about healing? Or He didn't say, don't preach about healing. He said, go heal. But He didn't tell them to preach that. He didn't tell them to teach that. He said, go and teach them the kingdom of God. Go and teach them the kingdom of God. What's more important, being healed or the kingdom coming? Kingdom coming. The kingdom's coming. Thank God. Be grateful for that. Yeah, it looks bad. It's going to look worse. Amen. It looks bad, but it ain't nothing like it's going to look like. But you know what? I got to look past that. I got to look forward to the kingdom of God coming. I got to be willing to be sacrificed on the altar of praise to God. Jesus, God's only begotten Son, went to the cross of Calvary, despising the shame, but looking to the glory that was laid before Him. He was looking for the kingdom to come as He hung on the cross for your sin, for my sin, for the sin of the world. He was looking at the righteousness of God being poured out as God poured the wrath of sin on His only begotten Son. He was looking past the pain. He was looking past the nails. He was looking past the day of the resurrection until Jesus was actually seated on the right hand of the Father. Thank God for that. Stop looking at our troubles and start looking for the victory. Amen. Right? Because when you look for the victory, when you're really seeking God with the fullness of your heart, with the fullness of your mind, when you're really looking forward to Him, then nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. I can be thankful. I can be thankful that we have communists running America. Praise God. I mean, really and truly, praise God. You know what that means? America is going to fall because we have turned away from God. Praise God for that. Our fiat system is going to collapse around us. Praise God for that. And it sounds crazy when I say it, but I got a kingdom coming. After all this world falls, after all the powers, the prince of the power of the air, after He has collapsed and crumbled and turned into nothing, I am going to rise up with the power of God within me, on me. Glory to God for that. And if I get the opportunity to live in that time, thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. That I was born in a time that I could ride my bicycle without a helmet. That we could go to school without a mask on. Mm-hmm. Praise God.
Yeah.
With a shotgun in my back window. In my pistol in my pocket, pocket in my knife, a knife in my pocket, yeah. But you could do those things and not worry about it. Now you can't. It doesn't matter about now. Because this is not the kingdom. This is not the kingdom. This world is not the end all. This world is going to die. It's going to burn with a fervent heat. And you know what? We're going to come through sparkling. I don't know what I'm going to look like, but when I see Him, I'm going to be like Him. That this terrestrial body will put on a celestial light. A living, lively, not living stone. I had that written wrong on the board. Why didn't you fix that a year ago? Lively stones. See, when you're thankful, you're lively. You have hope. You got the power of God dwelling in you, living in you. Oh, that we would give thanks to God. Be thankful that the God over all creation makes Himself available. Wow. You know, as it said in Jeremiah 13 there, 29 verse 13, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with how much of your heart? All of it. All right, church, do you really want to see God? You better start searching for Him, not part-time, not half-time, not with 99% of your heart. When you really seek God, I mean really seek God, you're going to find Him. But danger on this. Danger, Will Robinson. Will Robinson? Danger. Danger, you wascally wabbit. Danger, because when you see God for who He is in the fullness of His glory, His power and might, the fullness of His love and His holiness and His righteousness, it's going to change you or kill you. Well, actually, it's going to kill you and change you. I guess I put that backwards. Because when you see Him as He is, you see Him in His holiness, you see Him in His righteousness, you see Him in all of His love and His mercy and His power and His gratefulness, graciousness towards you, then you are going to have to change. The old man's going to have to die. You're going to have to stop mullygrubbing and worrying and being concerned about the things of this world. You're going to have to stop loving this world. Oh, you might have to get unconnected from the computer and have Jesus as your tutor. Hey, look at there, I can rhyme, man. Thought I'd been a rapper.
Get out of Facebook and into God's.
There you go. Get off of Facebook and start facing the book. Amen.
The real book.
Amen. The one that will change your life. Oh, 2 Corinthians 9 and 15. Thanks be to God, His unspeakable gift. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. We were talking just a little bit about that. Let me make sure I got in the right place there. So I think I may have said that, given you the wrong address.
So that's the right one.
Well, I'm getting there. Hold on. No, I was right. Ha ha. I was right and wrong at the same time. I gave you the right address. I told you it was wrong. But anyhow, the end of this, Paul's speaking to the church, and he's been talking about 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And the one verse that I wrote down out of all of this was thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. Amen. The unspeakable gift, the salvation of God, the grace of God, the holiness of God coming down, the unspeakable gift. The lost can't talk about the unspeakable gift, only the saved can. The lost can't wrap their mind around it. They'll get caught up and they'll start talking to you about the baseball game, right? They'll start talking to you about the weather. They may go to church all the time, but they can't get their mind out of the world. Now, don't get me wrong. I do not like the cold. I really, in my flesh, I do not like it. You can ask my wife. I complain about it all the time.
I do too. Like
it's cold, right? Everything is harder in the snow. Right? It just, no matter what it is, it's just harder. Unless you're making snowmen or sitting at the window watching it, it's harder in the snow. Anyhow, I thank God that there is snow. Right? I thank God that it is harder. I thank God that it's going to become harder to gather like this and worship God. You know? Because it's going to make a gleaning from the ones who really, 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 really want to seek God and the ones that are just so-so.
Amen.
The ones that are so-so, they're going to listen to the government when the government says, shut your church and go home and listen on Facebook. They'll do that. But the ones who really want the holiness, the righteousness, the fullness of God, we're going to gather together because we need the community. We need one another. We need to be thankful, and I'm thankful for that, that there is a heart. There's a remnant, right? There's a remnant of people that really want God. And they put Him first. It's talked about in Luke, and it's talked about in Matthew. If you do not love the Lord more than you love your mom, your dad, your brothers and sisters, and yes, even your own life, you cannot be my disciple, meaning student. You can't even begin to learn God, of God, who God is, to be thankful for God, until you love Him more than all of these. Until He becomes the Lord of your life. Oh, when He becomes the Lord of your life and you start seeing Him as the holiness of God living in you, richly indwelling in you, then He gives you this power that's talked about in 1 Thessalonians. And these are a lot of the one-liners towards the end of 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. These are the easy Awana people, okay? Rejoice evermore. Amen. That's an easy scripture to remember, right? 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I love the way the Holy Spirit put the Word of God together. Because I would have put all those in one verse. But you got to stop and think about every one of them. Rejoice evermore. I don't feel like rejoicing. Big deal. It's not about you. Do it anyway. You want to get over your mollygrubbing? You want to get over your self-centered sadness? You suck, sap, sucker, sad. All that stuff? You want to get over, wham, wham, everybody hates me? I'll go eat worms. You want to get over that? You start rejoicing in the Lord. You start counting your blessings. Name them one by one. Counting your blessings. See what God has done. Count your blessings. Right? When you do that, you'll be able to rejoice. Yeah, I may not have this, but praise God, I got the kingdom. I may not have that, but praise God, I got the kingdom. I may not have my health, but praise God, I got the kingdom. I may not have my favorite blah, 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 but praise God, I got the kingdom. My husband might not like me. My wife might hate me, but praise God, I got the kingdom. My kids may turn away from... Y'all are newlywed. Y'all shouldn't be giggling at that. Anyhow. If that's happening already, meet me in the office after. We can fix some of that. Amen. But we need to rejoice evermore, no matter what comes, no matter what happens. Not because of the things that's happening, but because I have a promise from God that a kingdom is coming. I have a truth, a love, a knowing that is going to happen. And until it does happen, I need to pray without ceasing. We're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 there, brother. Pray without ceasing. That's verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Giving thanks, giving honor, giving praise to God without ceasing. Regardless of the pressures, regardless of the powers, regardless of my physical, mental, financial situation, I need to praise God. I need to pray and thank Him for all of these things. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, really being thankful to God, especially in the hard things. Because like I said at the beginning of this, anyone can worship God on the mountaintop. But the thing about the mountaintop, nobody grows on a mountaintop. You only grow in the valleys.
You only grow when it's hard. The strongest trees in the forest are the ones on the outside that the wind batters them the most. You know that? Those are the strongest trees in the forest. All the rest of them are protected because the ones on the outside, the ones that face the brunt of the storm, they're the ones that bend, they're the ones that crack and they heal. You're the church. We're supposed to be on the outside facing the storm and giving glory in the storm. It's that old song, the anchor holds. Amen? The anchor holds. Regardless of the storm, yeah, I may be battered, I may be beaten, but the anchor holds because the anchor is connected to the rock, which is Jesus Christ, and I can give thanks in the storm. I will praise you in the storm, as Casting Crowns sang. I will praise you in the storm. Thank God for that. Pray without ceasing. And in everything, how many things? Everything. Everything give thanks. Why? Because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning who? You! Me! God wants us to be grateful to Him. And to be grateful to Him, especially when it doesn't go our way. That's a hard time to be grateful. Thank you, God, that I didn't get my way. Another country and western song. There's only my two favorite kinds of music is country and western. Anyhow, so they put them together, make country and western. Anyhow, it's, I shouldn't have made that joke because I can't think of the song. Or maybe it's God's grace that I can't think of the song. I think it's more of that. Thank you, Lord, that I can't do it. Be thankful in all things. The blessings of God. God will pour out from heavens like a waterfall if we were only grateful to Him. He would grant security greater than our fear if we were only thankful for Him. Right? Philippians 4:4 through 6. So Philippians 4 and chapter 4, we probably know this and you probably memorized it. Rejoice in the Lord how often? Always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for how much? Nothing. This careful could be said anxious. All right. How many of us do we know that are on some kind of drug because of anxiety? Amen. Yeah, we know a lot of folks. I'm anxious. I'm so worried. I'm so anxious. Well, what cures anxiety?
God.
Amen. Being thankful for God. See, if I was really thankful for God, I wouldn't be anxious.
That's right.
I have no worries. I don't have to worry about nothing. You know why? I have a God who rules in heaven that loves me and said that He has purposed all things for good to those who love Him and are called for His purposes. Amen? Mm-hmm. That means when I don't like it and I get anxious about it, then I need to start worshiping God harder. Right? I need to be more thankful when it doesn't go my way. Because God knows what's good for me. He knows what to take away, what to grant to me, and what not to grant to me. And mostly when I want things done my way, I'm going to mess them up. Amen? I don't know about you guys, but I am a class A mess up. Right? If anyone can mess it up, I can. Just ask my beautiful bride. She'll tell you. He can mess up anything. So, but he'll work it out in the end, but he messes it up at the beginning. It's called design build. Or actually build design. I wish I would have thought of that. Anyhow, be careful for nothing in verse 6. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known. Be made unto God. With thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Thank you for this trouble. Thank you for the hard times. Thank you for saying no when I want to hear yes. Oh, unanswered prayers. How's that country song? Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. I thank God that He didn't give me everything I wanted. Because if He would have gave me everything I wanted, I probably wouldn't be here. Because I'd be sucking up what I want and not what He wants. Actually, I'd probably be on some very warm tropical island somewhere, enjoying Tropicana oil on my body and ukuleles playing in the background. You know? Tropicana. Wasn't that the name of that oil? Tropicana tanning oil. And so, no, my luck, it'd be Quaker State. Anyhow, if I hadn't, little umbrellas, my grape juice, but God, He said, Curtis, I know what's best for you.
Yeah.
You need the tundra of Rochester, New York. You would waste away in warm weather, You'd only do what you wanted to do and not what I wanted you to do. So I banish you through my grace and my love. Be thankful. Be thankful. And I am. I make jokes about it. I really never use Tropicana oil. I just burn, I am thankful for the blessings of God outside of the heart's desire of my own lust. That God gave me what I needed, not what I wanted. Because if I would have got what I wanted, I wouldn't be blessed. I would have the blessings of this world, but what would it profit if a man would gain the whole world and yet lose his soul? So I'm grateful for the hard times. I'm grateful for the way I was raised. Might be hard to say, especially if you know how I was raised, if you knew of the things that God allowed my family to go through. But I'm grateful for that. Because now I have compassion that I wouldn't have had compassion on before. He moved over me. He moved over Joshua or Justin, over y'all. That God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son. Be thankful for God, which hath given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Be thankful to God, but thanks be to God, which has given us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Regardless of the trouble, regardless of the struggle, we are more than victors through Christ Jesus. We're going to be surrounded by family before we see each other next Sunday. You're going to be in other people's houses or other people are going to be in your house. There's going to be a lot of conversations. There's going to be a lot of belly aching. There's going to be a lot of whining. There's going to be a lot of self-consumingness. It's called Thanksgiving. You be thankful. You be thankful. Remember, the light that's in you is in you, not that you should hide it under a bushel, but you should open it up that the whole house can see. You be thankful, even though all those around you will be whining, mollygrubbing. I guarantee you, whoever plays on Thanksgiving Day that oblong ball game, football, whoever plays on that day, one of those sides is going to lose. Those people are going to be angry. Unless you're rooting for the guy in the striped shirt. He always wins. You be right, rooting for the one who wore the stripes on his back for your salvation. He always wins. Be thankful for the many blessings that God has left you with. And share that love with others. Don't get caught up in the whirlwind of the confusion of the day, but be a light leading others into the righteousness that you believe in. Let them know the hope that lives within you. Let them talk about their stuff.
But always remind them that God is above that stuff. And you are a child of the Most High. Let's go to the Lord. Father, we thank you, we praise you, Lord God, because you are good. Your mercy, it endureth forever. Lord, we ask for that, for your body. As your body, we want to give thanks to you. We want to lift our hearts and our hands before you, Lord God, and ask that you would mold us, Father, into the righteousness that you have set before us. Praise the Lord and give thanks unto him, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. Keep that before us, Lord Jesus, in our hearts and our minds, Lord God. Keep it before us, that we would turn our heart to the Most High God, that we would be your servant, Lord Jesus. And even though in the darkest day, Father, we are the light, so let us shine. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we ask those things in Christ's name. Amen.